On Monday, we read from your emails. Several listeners wrote in with memorable stories last week. We heard from Veej Berry of Colgate University during our segment on the anniversary of the moon landing. I was 12 and traveling through Spain when, with my parents, we were in a small dusty village called Oropesa. Our inn had the only TV. Some of the villagers joined us to watch the moonwalk in the bar. When it was over, they wanted to touch us Americans so they too could be on the moon in some psychic sort of way. They called us Los de la Luna, those of the moon. Our next story came in during our show on airports. Alan Griff wrote in about a much simpler time in terms of airport security. Adam was dating the woman who's now his wife. He lived in Toronto, she in Buffalo. She often crossed the border to visit. This particular time, Adam said, she had forgotten her driver's license. Although they let her on the plane en route to Canada, they warned she might have trouble returning. At immigration, she explained her situation while the officer rummaged through her ID and then finally asked her who the mayor of Buffalo was. When she replied correctly, his response was, "Too bad, isn't it?" And she was safely on her way. We have one more story that combines the themes of moon landings and airports. This from Patricia, a listener in St. Louis. I was returning home from Paris, my first international travel at age 17. The pilot announced to us somewhere over the Atlantic that man had just walked on the moon. Because I was in the air at the time, I felt close to the astronaut's experience. The passengers applauded the accomplishment and made this an unforgettable memory for a young woman returning home. Our segment on iPods brought emails from many fans and many ideas on how to use the popular technology. From Richard Schlein in Morgan Hill, California, the iPod may be the answer to the country's obesity problem. I recently lost 25 pounds and can't imagine 45 minutes on a treadmill without my iPod. We also learned that not everyone loves the iPod. Ian Walker in Washington, D.C., for one. I hate to rain on your iPod love fest, but iPod batteries die in less than 2 years, he wrote. iPod users must mail in their pods and pay for a new battery when they die. This seemed like an important issue that required more discussion, so we've asked Stephen Levy to join us again. He's senior editor and columnist for Newsweek magazine, and he wrote last week's cover story about the iPod. Stephen Levy, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Neil.
Last week on the show, we discussed battery life between charges. What about Ian's concern, the overall lifespan of the battery?
Well, it's true. The batteries are not infinite. Apple says that after 500 charges, which if you use it every day and recharge it every night, would take you under 2 years. It loses a significant percentage of its ability to go between charges at length, maybe 70%, and then deteriorates from there. So it's true. You might have to send it back after a couple of years to Apple for $100 for a replacement, and some third parties will do it for maybe $50.
We have another question for you. Thomas Brownback in Kansas City, Missouri, complained that our optimistic iPod discussion made no mention of Senator Orrin Hatch's proposed act, the Induce Act, which may render them illegal. What can you tell us about this proposed legislation?
Well, it is true that Senator Hatch is forwarding this bill, which would make, in the minds of some, not only the iPod, but anything that lets you make digital copies protected information, illegal there. So in theory, it can make not only the iPod, but your personal computer illegal. The bill was really supposed to focus on file sharing services like Kazaa, but I talked to Representative Rick Boucher, who said that, indeed, this could make iPods illegal. But the bill is just in an early stage, and one hopes that they will narrow the focus before they come to a vote.
Stephen Levy, thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
Stephen Levy, senior editor and columnist for Newsweek magazine. He wrote last week's cover story on the iPod. He joined us by phone from the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts. You can send us your questions, comments, and corrections. The address, totn@npr.org. Please include the topic of the show in the subject line. Tell us the city and state you're writing from, and if necessary, give us some guidance on how to pronounce your name.